That's it. I just hit the play, the record button on our call. Beth, are you with us? I can't
hear
you. There you are. Good. Let me introduce this this dud to stud, as she is self-proclaimed. Beth Preston, guys. What a phenomenal story this is. If you have not been paying attention to Beth Preston's numbers, or if you're new to the team and just haven't had the time to pay attention to her numbers, you just heard that month to date she was at like 17,000 for the first 3 weeks. I know she wrapped up the month just shy of 20 at 19.7. But let me tell you guys, Beth, after we got off the phone just a minute ago, I was looking at your numbers and I jotted down these notes. This is amazing, guys. Please pay attention. If you're just playing solitaire just now, what I want you to do is take your hand off the mouse and listen intently on what I'm about to say, okay? April of 03, Beth came on board with us. April of 03, Beth came on board with the Fitz Group. In 2003, starting in April, she was with the 9 months that remained in April, in 2003. Obviously, she couldn't produce the first 3 months because she wasn't with us. But in 9 months of 2003, Beth Preston wrote $6,194.52. And if you divide that by 9 months, that means she averaged $688.28 per month of annual premium. Please listen to what I'm saying, guys. $688.28. You're getting a sense of why Beth says from dud to stud. $688 a month ain't very impressive volume. 2004. Okay, so you can start adding up. She's been with us right at 2 years now. You're coming up on your 2 year mark, Beth. 2004 through the month of November. Guys, I can't even look at this number. I'm smiling. I want to cry. I'm getting chills all over me just looking at this. Okay, 2004 through November of 04, she had written $11,032.08. Guys, I'm talking about that's 11 months, and she wrote $11,032.08. If you break that down, she averaged $1,002.92 per month. You follow me, guys? I hope everybody caught that. If you didn't, we're recording it, so you can listen to it 1,000 times. So in 2003, she averaged $688 a month of annual production. In 2004, she averaged $1,000 a month production through November. And that put her at $11,000 through November. For the year of 2004, I'm setting this up. I'm going to set you guys up for this because a lot of you guys know what she did in December. But something happened in November. In the first week of December, she wrote over $4,000. And then in December, she finished off the month at $13,496.16. Did everybody just follow what I said? No, 04, January through November, she wrote $11,000, and then December, she wrote $13,000 in that 1 month, what previously took her 11 months to accomplish. And then in January of 05, she was at $12,938.40. In February, $13,384.72. March, by the way, March is over in case you guys don't know. I know it sounds crazy, but it's done. March, she wrapped up the month with $19,737.32. Guys, she was striving to be number 10, and at least in the top 10. And I don't know what final numbers are yet because all the managers hadn't sent me their numbers. But what I know is this. You had to do at least $19,000 to get into the top 10 this month in the Fitz Group. Total so far for the first quarter is $46,060.44. That is she has just done in 3 months 400% of what it took her 11 months to do last year. That's astounding. Four times the number. Holy cow. I hope everybody's catching this, because this is a real-life American success story that you guys have been witness to. And if you're brand new, just pay attention to the numbers I just read and pay attention to what I just said again. I mean, see her past, see her present. Know that something changed at the end of November, beginning of December. So with that, I have some questions for Beth. Guys, I'll be completely transparent with you. I called her up, read her the questions, but I did not prep her on what to say. I told her, I said, be completely honest, be completely frank, be completely transparent, which you guys who are in the Dallas sales meeting, you know Beth has no problem being that. And so we're going to hear what happened. So the first question I have is this. Beth, I want you to describe, and you don't, you can get as personal as you want to, that's your decision, but kind of give us a picture of what November of 2004 was for you. I mean, as far as your personal life, just give us a rough idea of what the picture looked like.
Well, I was being evicted. I was out of money. I still have two kids to raise, so I was struggling to make ends meet. I had a terrible attitude. Everything I ran into was just totally negative. And I was ending a relationship I'd been in for 2 or 3 years, which put an emotional and a financial strain on me on top of everything else. I was battling some depression issues. And because of all my personal situations, I was falling into a state of depression, and I was being treated for that. And I just felt like the world was on my shoulders and it was not getting any better. So in November of 2004, that's where I sat.
Oof. Well, you know, Beth, you're saying that, and I half of that, I guess, I didn't want to remember maybe, but you just spoke to somebody on this call in the exact same situation, I promise. And I don't know who all is on this call, but I promise you somebody just said, I'm there right now. I promise that's what somebody's saying right now. So the second question is, what made you want to change what you were doing? It may be an obvious answer based on what you just said, but what made you want to change what you were doing?
Well, I didn't want to go get an 8-to-5 job because I knew that with all of my experience and as long as I had been self-employed or on my own, that I was not going to make any money. You know, $10-$12 an hour, I was not going to support my family. And I wanted to continue to be able to set my own hours, and I wanted to help people. And I liked the insurance business, and I know that it's good for everybody. But in order for me to do that, I knew I was going to have to make some changes. But I wanted to stay with the Fitz group, and I wanted to stay with NAA. It was just a matter of getting my head on straight.
Okay. I'm jotting down a couple of notes. Because I just started thinking, as you're talking about, you're in the process of getting evicted, bills were mounting, and I just paid attention to your checks over the last 5 weeks or so, 5 or 6 weeks, just from one company, from F&G. And I know you've been writing a lot of U.S. Financial, and some of that business takes a little bit to get issued because they do clinical underwriting and takes a little more time. But just what you're on pace with F&G, you're averaging about $1,500 a week in commissions right now, which is a $78,000 a year income. Does that blow your mind?
Yeah, it does.
I just started doing the numbers, and I was like, oh, holy cow, $1,500 a week income right now, and you're on pace to make $78,000 for the year. Okay. Well, okay. Who did you, the number three question I have for you is, who did you go to when you first decided to make a change? You're feeling frustrated. Things are mounting up on you personally. You don't want to go get an 8-to-5 job because you realize that that's not what you're supposed to do. Who did you go to first, the very first person you went to for help?
Ralph Simpson.
Ralph Simpson. And what did Ralph tell you?
Well, he told me...
Well, first of all, what did you say to him? And be brief, because I know it was a long conversation, but give a nutshell of what you said to him, and then what did he say back?
I told him that I wanted to be on his team. I wanted to change teams because I wanted individual attention, that I felt like I was struggling. And everybody that he touched was producing. $10,000-$15,000 a week. I mean, first week out, everybody he touched was just, I was like, golly, I want to be able to do that. And so all he basically told me was that he knew I had the desire and the ambition to do it. He knew me. He'd known me for several years. And I talked with him on the phone one day, and he gave me a brief description of what he did on the phone, a brief description of what he did a little bit in the home. And I saw that what I was doing, I was making it a lot harder, and I was following something that wasn't working for me.
Okay. And did he, this is kind of a two-part question, did he advise you to approach any other team members? And if so, or if not, I know that you did. Who else did you go talk to?
He advised me to talk to you and tell you what I told him.
Mm-hmm.
He advised me to talk to Todd and to Jim and to Bruno.
Okay. So he turned you towards agency leaders and a proven producer that's in a new agent mentor position.
And my own manager, yes.
Yep. Okay. And what did those folks say to you?
I talked to Jim, and he helped me revise my phone script and told me kind of what he was saying, which was similar to Ralph. And he helped me revise my phone script. I talked to Todd, and this saying sticks in my mind every time I talk to a customer, and he always throws it out at me at a sales meeting. Why they send the lead in? Why they send the lead in? They sent the lead in because they need help. You have to, you know, he told me to take the lead and make it personal and not a piece of paper, and know that they sent that lead in for a reason. And so every time I look at Todd, I think of, why'd you send the lead in? Because that's what he always says. I talked to you for about an hour and a half one night.
Before you get to that, what Bruno tell you?
Oh, I went to Bruno, and I told him that I wanted him just to strip me clean, that I wanted to take away everything I'd been through in training. I wanted to take away everything I'd been doing. I didn't know what I was doing wrong. I just said, strip me and start me over and rebuild me to what we're doing now, because I'm doing something wrong. I don't know what it is, and I want to do it right. And that's exactly what he did.
Which, by the way, is exactly what boot camp will do for you in the military. They strip you of who you think you are and who you've been, and they make you into the person that you should be. Okay. Now, then you and I had a discussion. How long was that conversation?
About an hour and a half.
And what'd you get from that?
Well, spanking.
It wasn't, I was in a seminar just recently, and the guy kept talking about it. It was an attitude adjustment. He said, I can relate to this, my mother used to give me attitude adjustments. Is that what that conversation was?
That's basically what it was an attitude adjustment, and that, after that, my attitude changed immediately.
Not that I'm trying to get you to say what I said, because, I mean, ultimately, that was between me and you, but was there something that I said in that attitude adjustment that just light bulb went off? Was there one thing, or was it just the whole conversation?
It was probably the whole conversation in general, because there were several things that really hit home. And that was about having the right attitude, and it was about tuning into the conference calls and not, you know, coming to the Tuesday meetings. As local as I live, I wasn't attending all the Tuesday meetings, so I wasn't tuning into what other people were saying. If I didn't have any business to turn in, I just didn't go.
Right.
So I'd say those three things were probably something that you said that really struck with me.
So I want to go ahead and pause for a second and sort of summarize so far what I've heard. And I know everybody's listening to this call getting different stuff from it, but I want to kind of summarize what I've heard so far. Beth had gotten to a position where she was in a desperate situation. And we've all been there. I mean, somebody was telling me the other day about having their lights turned off, and I was like, hey, I can relate to that. She's in a desperate situation. she realized that she was in the right boat. She just didn't have a paddle. She found some folks who had paddles, and it was obvious they had paddles because they were flat smoking down the river. She put herself in a position to be taught and instructed by those people, which number one meant she was not coming with a chip on her shoulder. She was not coming with the attitude of she knew everything. She was coming with the attitude of, I obviously know nothing. Tell me what you've got. Tell me what's working for you, and I'll do that. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Why did you talk to so many people? I mean, you could have just stopped at Ralph. You guys don't have to look very far to see a top manager that can produce top producers. Ralph is one of the better managers at producing top producers. So why did you talk to so many people overall? Why didn't you just stop with Ralph?
Because I saw the other producers that, like Todd and Jim, that were doing some different things, and they had different key points, and I took something from everybody, including you and Bruno, and put it into place. And it wasn't just what one person said, it was what everybody said, taking something from everybody and putting it together.
Okay. Because Ralph Simpson is Ralph Simpson, he's not Beth Preston.
Right.
And Fitz is Fitz, and Bruno is Bruno, and Besner is Besner, and Richter is Richter. And Hudgens is Hudgens. Philip Hudgens is Philip Hudgens. None of us can be each other. That's why you went to a lot of people. You realized you were Beth Preston. You had to find out what the top guys were doing and formulate your own scenario. Okay. Well, here's another question. How did you find these people and make contact with them? Because I know there's people on this call right now that are going, oh, that's all well and good, but I don't know any of those people. How did you find these people and ultimately make contact with them?
Well, I talked to them at sales meeting. Ralph and Jim both had given me their phone number. I got Todd's phone number from Bruno. Hope I don't get Bruno in trouble for that. And I got Bruno's number from Bruno. And I just started calling them and making, you know, talking to them at the sales meeting. They said, give me a call. Ralph did call me between 7 and 7:30 in the morning. I thought, my gosh, 7 o'clock in the morning. But I called him at 7 o'clock in the morning to talk to him. I talked to Todd on a Sunday afternoon. I talked to Jim Richter one afternoon after the meeting. And I talked to you and Bruno many times just during office hours.
Okay, so let me just throw this out there. Guys, don't call our office asking for these folks' phone numbers because we're not going to pass them out readily. What we will do is maybe take your number and contact that guy and say, listen, if you got a second and you want to call this guy, could you call him? But don't call us and try to get their numbers because we're not going to pass them out. We like to respect their privacy. Every one of those guys has got their own job that they're doing and their own focus. So we don't want to do anything to take them away from that. But you may be sitting in California right now, or you may be in Maine. I'm just trying to throw out some places that are kind of far away from Texas. You may be a good distance away from the Dallas sales meeting, and you're saying, well, she has access to that Dallas sales meeting. That's how she met those guys. Uh-huh. What's your point? The Dallas sales meeting is here every Tuesday morning from 10 to 12. Well, Fitz, I don't want to fly in just to come to a two-hour sales meeting. Hey, listen. If you fly in just for a two-hour sales meeting, I'm sure you'll get at least a lunch after that, too. And my bet is you may get a lunch with some of those top producers. I'm not trying to tell you got to come to this Dallas sales meeting every week, but you got to put yourself in a position where you're getting around the people who are smoking, and you got to get in a situation where you can ask them questions, pick their brains, buy them a $5 steak, and ask them questions. Put yourself in that position. That's what Beth has done. That's why her self-titled autobiography is From Dud to Stud. One of that keys is she put herself in a position to get the knowledge that she needed to have in order to succeed. Another example is the quarterly meetings. Another example is the national conventions that NAA does. Hey, here's another example. NAA is doing this leadership conference in May. Well, Fitz, I don't ever want to recruit a team. That's fine, but you know what? The meeting is in Dallas. You could fly in that Thursday morning, spend time in the office, spend time with some leaders that you identified, and then go to the convention for 3 days. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. Nothing stopping you at all from doing that. Okay. Well, Beth, in your whole, in everything that's changed, and obviously things have really changed because you're making strong money. I mean, $78,000 a year is strong money. You're writing strong personal production. I think you finished last month at number 11 in the Fitz group, and the month before that, you were number 10 in the Fitz group. We're yet to see what this is going to be, but I guarantee you, if you're not in the top 10, you're at least very close to it. What, if you could name one thing that changed about, I mean, anything, your sales presentation or whatever, if you could name one thing that changed, what would it be?
My attitude.
Your attitude. What was your attitude before?
It was negative. I didn't like the phone script, and I did not like going into the home and people having to make these people say, I love you. I just thought that was the stupidest thing, and because I thought that, then it showed in the presentation. But I've learned by listening to the calls and going to the sales meetings that there were other things you could do to bring emotion to the table. And so when I started changing my attitude, then the outlook of how I looked at the phone script and how I looked at the lead and how I looked at going into the home and talking to the people, all of that changed because I went from I don't believe negative to I believe positive.
I wish you guys could have seen Beth in November and I mean actually physically go back in time and see Beth in November and see her now. It's just physiologically there's a change. She looks different. She just looks different, guys. So that kind of leads into this question. Describe your life now. How is it different from what it was in November of 04? Just we're talking 4 months ago. How is your life different over the last 4 months?
Well, I have my place to live.
Hey, that's good.
I ended up not getting evicted. The money is starting, you know, to come in where I'm starting to see that it does work. But I'd say most of all, I look forward to getting those leads and calling those people. And I get even more motivated when I get to go out of town, when I don't work Dallas, Fort Worth, when I get to go to Austin or you know, or out of state or anywhere. When I get to go, I get even more motivated because I'm driving a long way to help somebody. And in my mind, I say, I'm not coming home until I make this much money. And I always call my manager and say, my goal is to do this much this weekend.
Which consequently, by the way, your goal of what you say I'm going to do this much this weekend is usually your goal for the month, which is why we call you Sandbagger.
The things are different because I look at the lead differently, and I talk to people differently, and therefore they respond differently.
Huh. Let me ask you this, and this is really putting you on the spot. And I didn't ask you this ahead of time, so I really don't know the answer to this. But how's the downward spiral of depression? Is that different?
Yes. Still being treated for it, but it's better. I have a better outlook and a better sense of well-being, and my confidence level is building up because. You know, I took steps to help myself, not other than just financially, but I knew I had other areas that were struggling, and I took it upon myself just to get help, and it's helped in every direction.
Cool. That's cool. Again, guys, I wish you could just see how different Beth looks. And, I mean, just physiologically, just the way she looks at people in the eye now. I'm just sitting here thinking I'm just sitting here thinking about Beth in November, and Beth in November was you guys, Beth's probably the smallest person I know. she's I call her tiny little woman. She's I don't know, 5 feet tall.
5'0", 90 pounds.
90 pounds. She's wiry. She packs a punch. But I just remember, you know, she would walk up to me in November and ask, or even before that, and ask a question, and the eye contact wasn't there. Her eyes would shift or look down or not look me in the eye. She looked sad, guys, and I'm not trying to belittle
but
her in any way. You look sad. I mean, you look like you weren't happy. And you could see she just walked around like the weight of the world was square on her shoulders. And I'm not saying that things. I mean, she's not a multi-gazillionaire, guys. We're not saying this is a rags to riches deal, but just in the small amount of time that has elapsed since November, she's now, when she comes up to me at the end of sales meetings or when she comes in the office, she looks me straight in the eye. There's no shifting of it. She walks with this. I mean, I can only imagine. I never got to see Napoleon, obviously, but I can only imagine how Napoleon must have walked into a room. He just sort of strode. She does that. She's got her. She's standing up straight and tall. She's got this glow about her. I mean, she's got a lot of color in her face now. She's smiling all the time. I mean, people in the Dallas sales meeting have really commented on, I didn't know you smiled, and she can't stop smiling now, guys. And what's happened is she decided to change her attitude, number one. She changed it, and we're always preaching that, but she made that decision. She can thank the team all she likes, but she did it. She chose to do something different, and she did it. And immediately it changed who she was. She went out there and started making some sales, which gained her some confidence. Then, lo and behold, she started getting some commission checks in, which will always help your confidence. And now she's a different person. I can't even begin to imagine what she's going to be like in another 4 months. We may not be able to contain her. So, Beth, I know that, I mean, the thing about these calls is, whoever we have as a guest speaker or whoever is talking is always talking to someone in particular. There's always somebody on this call that is in the exact same situation, and that's why they learn something from it. So there's probably, chances are, and I think we have over 50 people on this call today, there's probably somebody on this call that is in the exact same situation that you were in last November. And the last question I have for you is, what piece of advice would you give that person?
Well, I would tell them that if I can do it, anybody can do it. Because I would understand it from where they were. I would tell them to talk to their manager, talk to the top producers, and take a nugget from everybody, because everybody, even though they do the same presentation, they do something different. And everybody has time to help other people. And if it hadn't have been for Todd and Jim and Ralph and Bruno that had time to answer one question, then I wouldn't be sitting at 19,000. I went out and wrote the business, but I took everybody else's advice. I would help that person. I mean, if I had to sit with them one-on-one, I would help them, and I would help them get to where I was today.
Cool. And the
I tell them not to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Don't ever give up. You can't win the race if you stop running, right?
Right, and I stopped running.
The crazy thing about those guys, those four guys, obviously I make money when you make sales, but Ralph, Todd, Jim, and Bruno don't. And the crazy thing is they were still willing to help.
Right.
They were still willing to give you assistance. And again, guys, I'm just going to reemphasize to everybody on the call, those guys are all running their own teams, and they have their own purpose and their own goals and their own things they want to achieve. But the power of becoming part of a team is that teammates help teammates. And if you've ever been on a successful championship team, you know that's what teams do. If you've never been on a successful championship team, congratulations. Welcome to the Fitz Group. That's exactly who we are. And we have team members on it that want to help other team members. Because what's fun and what's crazy about this business, the leaders, when we get together and talk about this business, what's crazy is you can make good money and have a good lifestyle from it. And it's not always just about the money. Our big phrase is having fun, making money. And we believe in the combination of both of those. And I think the more money you make, ultimately the more fun we can have. And the more fun we have, the more money we can make. And that's what a lot of the leaders have in their heart, that they want to help other people achieve, whether they make money off of it or not. So that said, I am just about to the end of this side of the tape, and I want to kind of open it up for folks and see if there are any questions. So let me do this. I'm going to see if I can finagle this machine a little bit before we do that. I do a dangerous thing. Open it up. We have officially 10 more questions. Please, guys, I would say keep comments to a minimum. If you have questions, let's ask those. Let me open it up. All right.
Central, not on the towel. Check engine light.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or just side conversations with other folks?
A question?
Yes.
Chuck Mazur.
Chuck, okay.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I was
Hold on a second, Chuck. Could everybody hit star 6 on your phone or mute on your phone so we can hear Chuck's question?
You can't hear me?
Go ahead, Chuck. Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead, Chuck.
It's more like a suggestion. I hear people calling other people to get advice and all this. I'm thinking that a different way of getting different in-home presentations, because the phone presentation is not all that complicated, in my opinion, but the in-home presentation is what it's really made of. Maybe what you want to do is have people just dictate their initial presentation and then have a series of different questions and hand out CDs to people and let them just listen to them, and this way you don't spend hours on the phone.
Hold on one second. Chuck, I was blanking it out so you could hear my response. That is a fantastic suggestion. And what we are in the process of doing right now is building a website for the Fitz Group as a training assistants. And maybe what we put on there is a couple of different of the leaders just videotape them doing their in-home presentation so you can watch it. That's definitely something that we can do, and outstanding suggestion. Anybody have any questions for Beth or for me, for that matter?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Joe from Detroit.
Hey, Muscle Man.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Kicking butt. Go ahead.
Hey, Beth, what did you do prior to this?
The question is, what did you do prior to this, Beth?
I sold life insurance for another broker that he was retiring, which led me to the Fitz Group. And I was also in the mortgage business.
Closing loans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other questions?
How'd you go to Samurai?
What was that?
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I appreciate all the comments and hints and everything.
Sure.
Everybody in Fitz is exactly right. It was you that did it. Congratulations. We're all real proud of you. My question is, though, that whenever you were calling me, I can remember back last summer, telling me about term trends that were less priced than home cert. My question is now, what is the first product that you are offering going in the house?
Okay, let's close it back out and ask that. Just to make sure everybody heard it, and again, we had some trouble hearing part of Jim's question because folks don't have themselves muted out. You can hit star 6 or the mute button on your phone to do that. But the question was, that was Jim Richter, by the way, that was asking the question. He said he can remember having conversations with you where you were having a tough time selling Home Certain because you said that, you know, there's so many other prices out there that are cheaper. And his question now is, what's the first thing you're leading in with when you're out there making sales? What's the first product you're showing?
I'm showing Home Certain first. If price is a real issue, I'm going to Term Trends. And if health is an issue, I'm immediately going to U.S. Financial.
Okay. And just to make sure everybody heard that, Home Certain is her primary sale, and I know because I look at the business that comes in the door, that's mostly what she's selling. Typically, her mortgages are less than $100,000 that in the area she's working in, so her fallback position is Term Trends. And but she is, I think she's one of the best in the business now, the best in the Fitch Group, at identifying somebody that has health challenges that F&G won't approve, which means most of our other first-level companies won't approve either, and she's going to U.S. Financial. And, Beth, now, U.S. Financial requires that you do a pre-risk assessment before you submit the business. So if you're in the home, how are you doing that?
I'm getting all the information from them. I dealt with U.S. Financial before with another broker, so I'm getting all the information from them. Like if they have diabetes, I'm getting all their, when it was diagnosed, their doctor's name, all their medications, any other conflicts, high blood pressure or whatever, and then I'm writing up the application and telling them that I'm not collecting a check now, that it will be collected when the time the policy is ready to be issued, and I'm telling them that they will have to go through a medical exam because U.S. Financial more than likely will do that. And I come home and do the pre-assessment on the computer, do the question near a thing, and then when they send that back, if they decline it, then I call the customer and tell them that I couldn't get them done. If they don't decline it, then I put it with my application and send it in. But I'm just listening and knowing that certain things won't, that the Home Certain won't write just from being in the field. I'm automatically flipping them to U.S. Financial, especially if Home Certain will write it and U.S. Financial will write it, but U.S. Financial is less expensive. I'll flip them to that just price-wise because I know they'll be shopping.
Now, do you use a laptop in the home?
No.
How do you know U.S. Financial prices on the fly like that?
I take them with me.
So you prepare ahead of time?
Yeah, I use the Home Certain profile sheet, and I do a page for Home Certain and a page for Term Trend and a page for U.S. Financial.
You just throw them all out when you get in the home?
No. I show them U.S. I show them the bells and whistles first on Home Certain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't do like Donnie Klein and decrease disability. I take it completely off and leave the money back on there. And if that's still not good enough, then I take that off. I try to leave the extended premium guarantee. There's not a lot of difference in price, thanks to Todd.
Mm-hmm.
On that deal. There's not a lot of difference in price. I try to leave it on there. If they're really tight with money and they're in pretty decent health, they don't have any health challenges, no high blood pressure or anything, I'll flip them to Term Trends but tell them I have to take a medical exam and tell them the pros and cons of that. If they go with that, the price is $20 less and I can write it, then I'll write it. and then if they say, well, I'm an insulin-dependent diabetic, then I immediately forget Home Certain. And as I'm talking to them, I'll say, well, I've got a company that will work for you, GS Financial. Here's what they do. And I don't usually show them the prices until after I'm through the presentation. And I will ask them, you know, are you taking any kind of medications? How's your health? Because that directs me which one to show them.
Okay. Cool. So you're prepared for something to happen, and you come away with an application.
Right.
Outstanding. Let's open it up for one more question.
I've got a question.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Eric Olson. I'm in Austin. I'm new, just came on, and I've been looking at the different selling systems, and I'm kind of trying to study the phone, not so much phone script, but presentations, and I'm seeing that there's several different home presentation, and I'm curious as to where, what I should be studying and what I shouldn't be. Are there preferences, or is everybody using functions or simplistic, et cetera?
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Okay, I got that question, but I had to blank it out again, folks. Aren't muted, and we're hearing a lot of noise, but and a lot of conversations. But the question was, just to make sure everybody heard it, Eric was asking, listen, I'm seeing a lot of different selling systems. A lot of folks have their own, you know, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but a lot of folks have their own way of doing things in the home, and he's just curious which route he should go, what path he should take. The path we think is the basic blueprint for achieving this is what we train on a Thursday class for new agents. You know, and hopefully everybody on this call has gone through that. If not, you're scheduled to go through this week. But it's Thursday, 12 to 3. It's the code that you just called in on, the same number, same code. And we don't mind if you tune into it again. Just let us know so we make sure we have enough lines available for you to tune into the conference call. But that's the selling system that we like. We really considered our foundation as the simplistic selling system. We give Ralph a lot of credit for creating that. It's also based on what a lot of people have just been doing in sales for the last 100 or 200 years. It's really just keeping it simple. We are strong in the belief that the more you say, the more objections you can create, and 95% of the objections that you get are from something that you created yourself. That said, there are people all over the country, and even people with the Fitz Group, that mix and match. And the real thing about sales, and if you've had any experience in sales, you know this, you have to create your own style. The simplistic system is the foundation, is the basic. The Hudgens system is also a great selling system that I made a lot of money with for a long time. It works. It's just, it's outstanding. And you heard, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Vern Geyer on the call, and as one of the three members of the call, and he talks about how he sort of has incorporated the simplistic system and the Hudgens system together. And that was, we had him on the call right after he'd just written 15,000 in a weekend. If you tune into the NAA conference calls where they have top producers on there, some of them say, I don't do the simplistic system, it just doesn't work for me. I only do the Hudgens system exactly word for word as it is on the NAA website. Others say, you know what, I don't use the Hudgens system, it doesn't work for me. I use the simplistic system exactly as it said. And other top producers say they mix and match the two. I think the key of what we've heard here from Beth today and what we're constantly hearing from top producers is do something and do it with the attitude that you're the best at what you're doing and the folks you're talking to need what you've got. If you go at it with that approach, you can use the Mickey Mouse system and it'll work. And that's, it's just, it all comes back to the foundation of these leads, like Beth said, and Beth got this from Todd, that these leads are people who have said, I want to buy insurance. So how do you think it best to contact them? The first approach is to make the phone call, book the appointment, go see them, write up an application, pick up a check. The stuff in between is stuff that you're going to shape and mold over the next 20 years for yourself. It's going to be a constant learning process, and if it's not, you're not going to be very good in the business. So I think that was probably a pretty good question to wrap up on. Beth, let me ask you this real quick. Do you use the Hudgens system?
No.
Do you use the simplistic system?
Yes.
Okay. Do you use any elements at all of the Hudgens system?
Yes.
What do you use?
I use the medical questionnaire. I try to get as much information from them. I use the think about it some.
Okay.
I will use that.
So you sort of you're a diehard simplistic systems user, but you've incorporated some own little your own little pieces from other systems that work for you. That's what you're saying? Okay.
Exactly.
Gosh, there was one more question that just popped in my mind as you're saying that, and I just forgot it as quickly as I thought of it.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
I took something that John Palmer said, that I'm not here to sell anything, you can't buy anything from me, that really puts the wall down.
Mm-hmm.
if they say they're not interested or they don't want to buy or something, then I hear Todd Besna saying, like, send a lead in. And I remember on the call said, pretend like that person is Charlie Brown's teacher and you don't understand what they're saying. And, you know, Ralph Simpson, he assumes the sale. And that's what I learned from him. And so Donnie Klein, he says, do you want to go through life prepared or unprepared? And I had somebody tell me the other day, I'm prepared. I said, okay, that's fine. But I try to take something from everybody and use it. And Bruno's been real helpful because Bruno keeps my spirits up. If I call and have a really bad weekend or a bad day, he reminds me how good I've done in a month, and he keeps my spirits up, and he also throws out nuggets that he uses.
Right.
That I try to write down, but I always don't get them all written down. But
A special tidbit with Bruno is that he's offered to beat people up for you too, right?
Exactly.
Okay. It's always good to have somebody like that in your corner.
Oh, yeah. But I think anytime I come across a situation, I see somebody's face.
Yep.
They told me something.
Guys, here's what Beth just said, and we'll wrap up with this because that's even better than wrapping up with the last question. She just said she's a product of the system and the team. And we're not talking about a product of a selling system. She's a product of the Fitz Group machine, the Fitz Group NAA machine that has been developed through the leaders that she's mentioned. You know, Ralph Simpson, Todd Besner, and Jim Richter are every bit a part of the Fitz Group as Fitz is. Okay, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not about me. The team has created this system and this machine that absolutely can take people who otherwise weren't producing anything and can get them to be, and really and truly, because NAA and the Fitz Group have set the bar so high now, oftentimes, Beth, you may feel a little disappointed that you did 19.7 this month. But I'll tell you a little secret. That's about 3 months in the industry of somebody who's being successful. So NAA and the Fitz Group have raised the bar that much higher, but you're smoking it. And that's what the system has done. That's what this machine has done for Beth. So, guys, the summary is tie into the machine. Come to the Dallas sales meetings as often as you can. I don't care how far away you are. If you can come once a month or once every other week, or if you can commit to driving in every week, you will absolutely be blessed by it. Come to the quarterly meetings. Tune into the national conference calls that we do and the NAA does. Tune into the national conventions that NAA does, like the leadership and the national convention we just had in January in Atlanta. Tie into those things. Identify yourself with somebody that you can identify with that is succeeding and take some advice from them. That said, guys, we are finished with first quarter. How you doing on your goals so far? We only have 3 more quarters left. 1 quarter's gone. You'll never get it back. 2005 is blowing by before you know it. The second quarter of this year, guys, is always a preparation time, a momentum building time for the summer. So if you take off second quarter, your summer's going to stink, and now you're left with fourth quarter. So focus, guys. Now is the time to build your own momentum. Set your big, hairy goal that you want to achieve this year, something that's absolutely impossible to achieve, that you're going to have miraculous, outstanding things occur in order to achieve it, and go get it. You guys are the greatest, and you're proving it every day. Talk to you later. Thank you, Beth.
All right. Bye.